What I heard was, this is not a time to slow down. It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to, I'm going to give it to you just how I heard it, Pastor. Daddy God showed me like a racetrack. And I don't know if you've ever ran like a marathon or, you know, but it was like as you're running around and it's at that, at some part, you start to lose your breath and you kind of start like, oh man, I should stop. I should quit. I should just, you know, do it again. Go around next time. But God said, this is not the time to slow down. It is not the time to quit. And what Daddy God said is, at that time, at that moment of when you feel like you should just give up, or you just lost your breath and, oh, I just don't have another yard in me, God said, let me be your breath. Let me be your energy. Let me be your focus to continue moving forward. Let me be that energy, that pep, what you would say, to let you continue running. Now let that race, that run, that assignment, let that be the one that God put you on. Let that be the assignment that God put you on. Let him be your breath. Let him. Thank you, Father God. Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Father. Praise your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Good evening. Good to see everybody. It's a great day. It's a great evening. It's a great season that we're in. Despite what's going on in the world, what's going on around us, the kingdom of God is not shaken. We are members of an unshakable kingdom.
Yes.
And as long as we are adhered to that, as long as we are consumed with that, one with that, we don't have to be shaken when the world is shaken. God is faithful. God is true. And his word does not adjust just because something's going on in the world. His word does not change just because situations and circumstances arise. Yes, they do arise. Yes, they do come knocking. Yes, they do come tempting. But we have a choice to say, I'm standing with God. I'm standing with our anointed Redeemer. I'm standing with his word. I'm standing on his promises. I lay hold of his will, his plan, his purpose for my life. And no matter what's going on around me, no matter what people are saying, no matter what the news is reporting, I see it going on. I know it's going on. I don't deny it's going on, but I refuse to be moved by it. I will stand on God's word, God's promise, God's victory in every situation and circumstance. Amen. God has good things in store for you. Good to see everybody. Those watching by live stream, we say greetings. Hello. Grace and peace to you and your household. Another family reunion in the house tonight. Yeah. The body of Christ assembled together to worship and praise together. You are blessed. Hallelujah. Do we have announcements?
Well, just the usual. We got praise team rehearsal tomorrow night. We've got Friday morning at 6:15. Brother Rob is conducting a Zoom prayer and communion. So, gentlemen, you can take advantage of that, hook up with that. Saturday night at 7 o'clock, another prayer meeting, and KLTTC is doing some filming. Well, we don't really use film, we're doing some tape. Well, we don't use tape, we're doing some recording. That's what we're doing, on cell phones no less, to populate our KLTTC website so people around the world can tune in and hear the good news of the Word of God. So if you're a part of that, be sure and be here at your appointed time. If you're not a part of that, come anyway, and we'll find you something to do, because there's a lot. And then church on Sunday morning, we're going to have a blowout. So keep those things in mind. Whose birthday? Not another one. Seems like I just had one. Yeah, it's better than not having one, yeah. Yay me, I'm having a birthday. Okay. Well, that's good. But anyway, we're going to celebrate God. And if we have cake and punch for me, that's okay too. Hallelujah, Brother Steve. I hope so. Yes.
Hello, church family. Yep. Come before you once again. Let's try that again. Good evening, church family. I come before you once again to give you an opportunity to ratify your covenant in the area of tithes and offerings. If you're here in the house, the ushers will be giving you offering envelopes. If you're watching online, please use our online sewing portal. You can find that on our website. You can also chase the link in the YouTube video, the Facebook feed. As an aside, we did get an opportunity with our credit card processor. They've given us another opportunity to kind of handle our finances that way. In the last year, we spent about $6,000 in credit card fees. So when somebody gave a donation, then the credit card fees get pulled off the top of that. So if you gave $100, then we saw $97, $3 of that went to the credit card processor. So they've given us an opportunity. There's a check mark in the second screen. If you put a check mark in that box, it says you can pay for, you increase your donation to cover the processing fees. Then that would go in, and that would actually help cover those costs, so we wouldn't see the loss on that side. So if you're so inclined, please do so. If you're not so inclined, then that's okay too. God's leading me to Abraham, so I think we're going to be in Genesis for a little while. We're going to start Genesis chapter 11. Let's go ahead and kind of go back to the beginning, start with Abraham. Chapter 11, verse 31, and Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abraham's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter into the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. Verse 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives. The first thing he said, he still doesn't obey. Go forth from your country and from your relatives. You remember it laid out in verse 31 who Lot was. Lot was Abraham's brother's son. Now, I don't do family trees that well. I always push that over onto my wife, but I'm fairly certain that means he's his nephew. And if it's his nephew, that means it's his relative. But that's a little rabbit trail. Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and the one that curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, except, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. This is kind of that first covenant that Abram made with God. He didn't have to do anything except obey what God said to do. And even in his obedience, he was still disobeying him, but God still honored him. Can you imagine what he would have been able to accomplish had he been completely obedient? My studies of Genesis has shown me multiple opportunities where God came forward and set a covenant and said, I do this, you do that. This is your opportunity to, God does this if I do this. He said, if you give that first 10%, that tithe, that set aside, that is mine. That's the covenant. If you do this, then I will bless you. First chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Do you want to be that covenant, that conduit by which God can bless all of the people of the earth? That's what God wants of you. But God wants you to prove that you are honest and faithful. If Abram had stayed in Haran and stayed in his father's house, would he be the father of faith? Would they have spent a quarter of the book of chapter 11 in Hebrews talking about the faith of Abraham? They would not. Why? Because he was not doing what he was supposed to do. I implore you, be obedient to what God has called you to do. Do what God has called you to do, and stand back and watch what God will do on your behalf. It is a quid pro quo. If you do this, God will do that. God laid it out. It's very plain. The first tenth, that is his. Give an offering. Give him something to work with and watch what he will do. So if you're giving online, please use our online sewing portal. If you're, you can also mail us a check to P.O. Box 140-345, Austin, Texas, 78714. But when you give in faith, knowing that it's God's return that's been promised to you through your obedience.
Jesus gave it and the world can't take it away.
Sing it one more time. I said,
this joy that I have, Jesus gave it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, Jesus gave it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, Jesus gave it to me. Jesus gave it and the world can't take it away. My Jesus gave it and the world can't take it away.
Father, we lift before you the tithe and the offering of your family. We call it holy unto you and set apart for your will, your plan, your purpose, Father. We agree together with you that the windows of heaven are open and your blessings are overtaking us, Father. And as we give this night, Father, it is given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Father. You said that if we would plant a financial seed, that we would reap a financial harvest. So we lay hold of the harvest, the return on our giving this night, Father. We thank you, for you are faithful and you see to it that we are fully furnished entire, lacking nothing, ready for every good work and every charitable donation, Father. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your giving. God bless you. It comes back on every wave. Thank you, praise team. Give me just a minute. Praise God. For some reason, my voice is going to be strong and powerful, and I'm just going to blow the socks off of everything here. Actually, I'm just going to read what I got here in the page. You know, for a while now, we've been talking about, and everybody's talking about, all the cry from all the TV preachers and the prophets and everybody, it's pretty well given that it's time for the church to rise up. We've heard word after word after word, it's time to rise up. It's time to rise up and do what? Okay? That's what I'm going to talk about. It's time to rise up. It's time to wake up, rise up, and do something. But very seldom do they actually tell us what that looks like. They just say, rise up. You got to take a stand for the kingdom. Well, what does that mean? Let your light shine for the gospel. Again, what does that mean? You know, the only thing I know to tell you is the way that I see it and understand it. So it's my attempt to give you something that you can understand tonight and do. You know, I was looking for one thing in my computer and I found something else that I didn't know that I had in there. I don't remember writing it. I don't remember ever talking about it. It was a little bit familiar, but I started reading and it's pretty good. So I'm going to share that with y'all tonight. But first, I want to lay a little groundwork. Now, I have a question for you. It's a trick, or not a trick question, but it's a trap question. I'm going to box you in and then hopefully don't slap you around a little bit. How many of you know what the will of God is? Okay, if you say you know what the will of God is, my next question is, are you doing the will of God? You knew that was coming. Huh? If you know his will, but you're not doing his will, and I believe that most of y'all, to the extent that you know you're doing, but how can you expect to walk and live in his blessings? If you know what to do, but you don't do it. It seems like somewhere, I think it's in Ephesians 5:17, says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And in another place it says, and I think I've got that right over here, if you know what to do, if you know what to do and you don't do it, it's sin. It's the same as sin. James 4:17, he who knows to do good and doesn't, it's sin. So, if you don't know the will of God, you know, there's been some people that I've heard of that they said, well, I don't want to, don't tell me anything, because if I know, then I'm responsible for it. I know just enough to get into heaven, and that's all I want to be responsible for, because if anything else that I know, I'm going to be judged on that. But you need to know what the will of the Lord is. You need to know what God wants you to do. Either way, I'm going to give you a quick lesson in knowing the will of God, whether you know what the will of God is or not. Another question, did Jesus know what the will of God is? I think if there was anybody who knew what the will of God was, it was Jesus. And I say what the will of God is because if it was the will of God then, it still is the will of God now. It hasn't changed, just the players have changed, the actors, if you will. Let's agree that Jesus knew what the will of God is. He had the big picture for the will of God for his life, which was to eradicate the bondage and dilemma of sin, to take the full wrath and judgment of sin to the grave, thereby paying the full penalty for sin. That means the thing that required sacrifice, that required death, that was paid in full. Nothing else needs to be paid. The penalty of sin has been paid. And to destroy the works of the devil, that's what the will of God was for Jesus, and to restore mankind back to fellowship and relationship with God. Jesus went away quite often to seek God and to pray so that he would know the details of that. That's what we need to do. We need to from time to time, we need to go and seek God for what are the details that you want me to do. I know I'm supposed to do this, this, and this. That's the big picture of my life, my call. That's what you've got me doing. Now, how do I carry out those steps? And he will show you. He will tell you. The will of God for our lives is to do the same work that Jesus did. That is simple enough to follow, isn't it? Should be. Just do what Jesus did, minus the whole crucifixion thing, because his was enough. We don't need to crawl up on the cross. There's no reason to do that again. Now, when Jesus was teaching his disciples the pattern of prayer that they asked for, they said, Master, teach us to pray. So he said, okay, when you pray, pray this way. And he said some very interesting things. And we're going to take a look at just three lines. And so after the salutation of praise and reverence to the Father in Matthew 6:10, he said, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want you to get that tonight. There's some powerful things here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we're talking about knowing God's will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let's look at these two things that God wants in the earth. First, thy kingdom come. We know that a kingdom is the domain of a king. It's the king's domain. They just shortened it to kingdom. This prayer was to God. All prayer should be to God. So when he said thy kingdom, he was talking about God's kingdom. So we know who owns the kingdom, who's ruling and reigning here. Talking about God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is many things. All through the New Testament and actually the whole Bible, you can find out what the kingdom of God is. You can find out what it's not. It's not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's some of the things that we're going to talk about just a little bit. Certainly, we want the righteousness of God. We want the righteousness of God. We want to be righteous, or we should. And we want the peace of God and the joy of God to come and manifest on the earth. Everybody's screaming, world peace, world peace, world peace. Just like it is manifested in heaven. We want it on the earth just like it is in heaven. We know in heaven there is no unrighteousness. There's no sin in heaven. And its accompanying issues. There is no turmoil, anxiety. There's no worry. There's no confusion or any other thing that would be considered opposites of peace. There's nothing there that causes destruction or causes consternation or anything but peace. And we know that there is full presence of God. I mean, he's up there. He is God all over the place. And in heaven and in his presence, there's fullness of joy. So we know there's joy in heaven. What are we talking about? On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. So yes, please, I will take a heaping helping of the kingdom of God. Right here, right now, in my life, on earth. The good thing about it is the more we seek the furtherance of God's kingdom on the earth, it actually is increased in us, because that is where God has designed his kingdom to be. He said in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is in you. You don't say, look over here, here's the kingdom. Look over here, here's the kingdom. No, the kingdom of God is in you. So when the kingdom increases, you are increased in your righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's all in the Holy Spirit. So we pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We all agree that's a good thing. Amen. Thy will be done. From looking at and studying the life of Jesus, we see some of the many things that he did that was the will of the Father. He said, he only did what he saw the Father do. He only said what he heard the Father say. So Jesus actually fulfilled both the kingdom of God and the will of God while he was on the earth. Everything he did was the will of God. Everywhere he went, he established the kingdom of God. To make things simpler, let's just say the kingdom of God is obtained when the will of God is done. Because you can't separate the will of God from the kingdom of God. However, you can have, now I know this may just go right against what I just said, if something is not the will of God, it is not a part of his kingdom. Now, you can have the kingdom of God in you and still not do the will of God. You can be both. You can not do the will of God, but if you're born again and you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you can have the kingdom of God in you. That is why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom. Because you can seek other things before the kingdom. You can, and a lot of people do. A lot of people do. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. And then everything else that you probably would want to seek first in your natural man, that will be added to you. But put it in front of your life by doing the will of God. And the will of God is doing and being on earth as it is in heaven. And you say, that don't make sense. Well, let me say it again. Put the kingdom of God in front of your life by doing the will of God. And the will of God is, here it is, on earth as it is in heaven. That's the will of God. He wants heaven to be copied, if you will. Remember when Moses went up onto the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments? God showed him a pattern of the tabernacle that's in heaven, and he said, build it exactly this way. That was on earth as it is in heaven. Because there was a representative or the temple that God showed Moses, and he said, do it exactly like this. So there was a tabernacle in heaven, and God wanted it on the earth just like it was in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 18:18, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. This is what Jesus said to pray for, that the way it is in heaven to come to the earth. Now, I know I'm saying this a lot, but what pastor always say, repetition is the cost of education. I want you to understand when we leave here that God wants his way done on the earth as it is in heaven. And he shows us heaven. He gives us all we got to do is look at this word. We find out God's character. We find out the things that Jesus did. And we learn of what it's like in heaven, where God is on his throne. And it's amazing that God can be on his throne in heaven and in our hearts at the same time. But as it is in heaven, so be it on the earth. But Jesus, when he said, whatever you bind on earth shall have already been bound. Now, there's lots of translations, and I looked at about 30, 35 translations of this today. And most of them said shall have been, or some form of, it's already bound in heaven. So, you know, if you're down here and you said, I bind sickness, well, it's already bound in heaven. It's not, you're not doing it on earth first, and then it goes to heaven. So, because there's no sickness in heaven, it's already bound and it's forbidden there. So it's our job to make earth look like heaven. We're not making heaven look like earth. I've heard some stuff that when we bind it here on earth, God binds it in heaven. That's backwards. It's bound up there first. There's no poverty in heaven. It is forbidden, and it's bound. Therefore, it is the will of God for it to be bound and forbidden in the earth. If you're not sure what the will of God is, just think about heaven. If you can imagine what a lawful, good, accepted, full of righteousness, peace, and joy, then on earth as it is in heaven, is our job to do the will of the Father. If you can imagine heaven, then what the Father's will in heaven is what his will is on the earth. Kind of messed that up, but you'll get it. Jesus saw Satan kicked out of heaven, and he knew that he couldn't rule in heaven. He could not reign there. So part of Jesus' duty was to make sure that he couldn't rule and reign here. All he's got is his mouth. And deception is his treat. It is our job to enforce Satan's defeat. He was disabled or disallowed in heaven. We must disallow him in operation in the earth. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil on earth as it is in heaven. There is no sorrow or pain in heaven. So it is God's will that sorrow and pain be comforted here on the earth as it is in heaven. When you see someone hurting, you know that it is not the way it is in heaven. So what do you do? If you see someone hurting that needs help, you encourage them. You go help them. You put your hand on their shoulder and just say, "Can I pray for you? I see you're going through some struggles." They don't have to tell you what their struggles are, but yes, please. And you can bring comfort and encouragement to them, because that is the will of God. To know his will and to do nothing puts you in a troublesome place. Do you see how this works? When you know and understand how it is in heaven, it is God's will for you to bring it into the earth. God has given us his authority to make on earth as it is in heaven. I point you to the beautiful painting that Sister Ethel painted. In earth, as it is in heaven. God wants it here. He's got heaven taken care of. We can't change heaven. We don't need to change heaven. It's down here where we are to rule and reign. it takes the keys of the kingdom, which is what Jesus said. I give to you the keys of the kingdom, so that those keys are: what you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. It's already done. Those are the keys of the kingdom, and he intends for us to use them. Therein is the rising that we're supposed to do. We are to rise up from accepting whatever the world throws at us. We are to rise up from accepting whatever the world throws at us. Now I'm going to read my dissertation, whatever this is I wrote. Or somebody wrote on my PC, I don't know. Kind of sounds like me. It's time to rise up. That's what all the preachers are saying now. That's what all the prophets are saying. It's time for the church to rise up. Well, here we go. The issues of sin and sickness and poverty have been dealt with. We know we are spirit beings. We've been reconnected to God through the work that Jesus did. He paid the price. He took the punishment, judgment, and wrath of the Father, and it, or the penalty of sin, was paid in full. Paid in full. That should not be an issue anymore. Sin is no longer an issue. It is paid for. Grace and mercy, when we accept it and we receive it, cancels, or the blood of Jesus cancels the penalty of sin. Salvation is complete, and we should know that as long as we are in Jesus and he is in us, we have everything he has. And we are just like him right now in this time and dispensation. What does John say? As he is, so are we in the earth. On earth as it is in heaven. We are one. What was given to Jesus has been given to us. Receive it and let's get on with the plan. We know enough to go into the world and start using the authority that was given to us to use. We're going to talk about authority in just a minute. But show up at your job with a consciousness that you are the light, and darkness can't stand or even exist while you're there. I don't care how dark a room is. If you go in with a light, the dark. And the more light you bring, the less darkness there is. The only way you get darkness is by extinguishing the light. Darkness is nothing. Light is a force. Show up at the grocery store. I'm telling you how to rise up here. Show up at the grocery store understanding that while you are there, the kingdom of God has come on earth as it is in heaven, and evil and unrighteousness can't operate. We may not have the power to change some circumstances or situations, but we have the authority to release God's power, and God's power is more than enough. More than enough to change every circumstance. Our authority in Christ is greater than all the power of the enemy, so act like it. Luke 10 and 19 says, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. I don't know how anybody could misunderstand that or mess that up. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Authority. Our authority in Christ is greater than all the power of the enemy. For too long, it has been, don't get the devil riled up. He'll get you. We learn about the boogeyman, the guys under the bed and in the closet, and we see the world's been filled with the images from Hollywood of the big powerful demon or the little ugly little things that crawl upside down on the ceiling, you know, and they come at you with big teeth and fangs and no power. But people have got more faith in the demonic stuff than they do in the Christian stuff, in the stuff that is truth. And you know why that is? Because all the devil can do is deceive. He'll tell you, this is me. I'm all powerful. But he ain't. He doesn't have any power. He's been stripped of all of it. All he can do is nom, 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 nom. The power of demons and devils in the whole earth, or the images of those things in the movies from Hollywood, is filled with lies. It's all lies. I remember a long, 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 long time ago, and this has stuck with me, and I didn't like it then. I still don't like it. There was a movie came out. I guess it was either early 80s or late 70s, called The Dragon Slayer. And it's about this fire-breathing dragon that lived in this cave under this village out somewhere. And every so often at a given time, the dragon would come out and they would have to throw a virgin over for a sacrifice. And they were trying to figure out how to, you know, they would send somebody up into the cave and, you know, he'd get up close to it and fried. You know, this dragon just could not be beat. And they had a priest go out there, took his holy water and his little rosaries and things, or beads or whatever. And in the movie, he's standing there and the big dragon comes up and he says, I curse you in the name of Jesus Christ. Fried. One little sneeze and that guy was gone from that dragon. I said, that's not right. But it's an image that got put into my head. Now, I know better. I know better because I've seen the power of Jesus and his name win over things like that, over the enemy. But the word says, the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It did not say that the whole earth would be filled with the images of Hollywood, that the devil is stronger than God. It said the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would fill the whole earth. So something's got to change, and somebody has to change it. Guess who that somebody is? We change it. We change it. Our authority is over all the enemy's power, so he can't do anything but make loud noises, and we can even shut that up. If someone offers a bad scenario or outcome about anything, immediately stop it and say, no, that will not happen. The word addresses all things, so we must be diligent in learning the word so that we can replace the bad words with God's words. Romans 4 and 17 says, we call things that are not as though they are, because we have the authority. We have the authority. We know what is right and what we have, and whose we are, we belong to God, and who we are sons of the Most High God. Now it is time to start using that knowledge to change the world around us. For too long we have let things slide, things that we know are wrong and against God's righteousness. How do we get God's righteousness, which is in heaven, onto the earth?
we decree it. We declare it with our authority. Now we have some ground to take back and some issues that need to be reversed. It is time. I don't know when I wrote this. I went back long, long time, and I could not find a copy of it anywhere. But I would say even more so now than whenever it was that I wrote this, that there's some things that need to be reversed. It's time to stop the darkness which hides deception. It hides lies and manipulation and every evil work. It's time to stop that darkness. It's time to stop and expose those that perpetrate hate, division, evil, and unfairness against the people. It's time to uncover the craftiness and sin that is a reproach to the people. You know, the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the craftiness and sin that is a reproach to the people. And it's time to establish righteousness so that our nation can be exalted again. We have the authority. We have the grace. We have the word. Now let's move on it. How many of you remember? Well, you probably don't remember when you were that little bitty of a kid, but when kids are first, I say kids, when children are first learning to talk or they're first learning to communicate, what do we say? Use your words, because your words is how the authority is released. It's what brings the power of God into the earth as it is in heaven. Because that's the way God himself brought heaven to the earth. He said, let there be light. There was light. He said, let the waters divide and the firmament come up and all that, the land, and let trees and bushes and bugs and squirrels and things, and let all of that be. He spoke all of that, and his power created it. We start out with prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We've been doing some praying around here. On Tuesdays and Saturday nights, we've been praying, and we've been doing it for a while. So we've got some stuff stored up. We've got some stuff stored up, and it's being released. God said he's releasing it into the earth. We've already established that we are righteous by the blood of Jesus, so let's get praying. If the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, we are righteous, we pray. Let the Spirit direct you as to when and where, but begin to invoke and entreat the presence of God to start filling the schools, city hall, the county courts, and the state capitol. We invoke and entreat the presence of God in those places. Anywhere and everywhere that laws, policies, ordinances, or judgments are made need to be covered by prayer so that truth, justice, equity, integrity, morality, and righteousness are the deciding factors. And hidden agendas, manipulation, lies, deception, and works of evil have no place there. I guarantee you the laws would be cut down from 5,000 pages to 2. Then begin to pray for those who are elected and appointed to make laws and ordinances so that they would come to the true knowledge of God and relationship with him. Then take, and I'm telling you what to do now. I'm giving you, this is what we need to do. Take authority over every work of darkness and evil throughout the city. You don't have to get on the highest point of the city. Thus saith the Lord God. No, while you're driving in your car, proclaim the peace of God, the joy of God, the righteousness of God. Take authority over every work of darkness and evil throughout the city. Make declarations that theft, murders, lawlessness, violence, sexual perversions, and all other sorts of ungodliness must cease and desist in the city, the county, and the state. You say, well, can we do that? That's a big, Texas is a big place. You know, there's a lot of nasty stuff going on. We have the authority over all the power of the enemy. And it is our job. Jesus said it. He told us to pray that way, that as it is in heaven, on the earth as it is in heaven. Pray for the people that darkness and blindness are removed from their hearts and eyes so they may see the goodness of God. Because we know what happens when they see the goodness of God. It said it's the goodness of God that causes men to repent, that turns them from that darkness way into the light. And then God can show himself strong in their behalf. To see the goodness of God and move toward him and the truth of the gospel of Jesus. You pray along these lines. You can do that from your home, from your car. You can do it from here. You can do it walking around down the street. It doesn't matter where you are. You have the authority to stop the power of the enemy, or to stop the influence, the hold, or whatever. You know, it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not the people that we're fighting. It's the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places and wickedness. That's demons. That's the devil. That's what we speak to. That's what we bind. We don't bind people. We can't bind people. But we can loose them from the chains of those powers. We can decree and declare, and the evil one has to bow. We take authority over the darkness and evil. We shine the light of God everywhere you go. If you are led to, and I have done this, and I'm getting ready to do it again, go to the city council meetings and pray quietly while the meeting is being conducted, stopping the darkness from influence. And if there ever was a city council that needed somebody in there praying, we got one. Just your presence there can change the atmosphere of the room. Do you believe that? When you walk in, the power of God walks in. When you walk in, the authority of God walks in. The light walks in. Deception, lies, thievery, confusion, all has to go. It can't stand. The darkness cannot stand in presence of the light. Go to the legislative sessions at the Capitol and do the same. Used to be that you could walk right in. I don't know if you can do that anymore. When I used to work for the comptroller's office, we're on 17th Street. We were just a block over across from the Capitol. On my lunch hour, when the legislature was in session, I would go in there. Now, this was back in the 90s, 70s. late 70s, early 80s, and then again in the 90s. I would go take my lunch hour, and I would just walk over to the Capitol and go sit in one of the houses, either the representatives or the Senate, and I'll just pray under my breath while they were beating the gavel and talking stuff that I didn't even know what they were saying, but I knew it had to be righteous. It had to be righteous. Influencing it for the kingdom of God, bringing to earth as it is in heaven, stopping the darkness from influence. go to other civics or civic functions, not as a protester. I'm not advocating that, but as a thermostat to change the direction from unrighteous to righteousness. We have the authority. Verbally establish the kingdom of God and put the works of darkness on notice that they cannot operate on that property any longer. And this is something that we've done with every house or apartment that we've ever lived in. Me, Michelle and I, as we started cohabitating together after we were married, we took communion, and we would walk around the perimeter of our property, go to all four corners, and as we were walking, we were decreeing and declaring that this is the kingdom of God. I establish it here on the earth as it is in heaven, and no evil shall happen here, that righteousness rules and prevails, and we are blessed, and we live in peace and joy in this place. We've done it in the apartment that we're in now. We've anointed all the doors and the windows, and we take communion and establish the perimeter for the kingdom of God. You know, you can get these little cups, and we're talking about getting them for here that has the juice in it, and then on top of it there's a little enclosed sealed thing that with a little old piece of cracker, and you can put that in your pocket. And take it down there. Take it to the Senate chambers. Take it to the House, the representatives' place. Take it to the city council. Take communion. Establish the perimeter for the kingdom and glory of God. You may not be called to be a city council member or school board member or congressman, but you can show up and have influence on their decisions. Let's do something with what we know and what has been given to us. Yeah, we may not make the news. We may not be on TV. We may not be interviewed by Will Witt or whoever else interviews people. He's from Prager University. Good guy. But that's not what our purpose is. Our purpose is to establish the kingdom of God and God's will on the earth as it is in heaven. Let's do something with what we know. It's time to rise up and step out. It's time to rise up and step out. Praise God. Praise God. Well, that's what I had for tonight. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we've had here tonight. I thank you, Father, that you have supplied all that we have need of. And not only does that include our finances, but it includes the authority to do your will, to establish your will here in the earth, to establish your kingdom, first of all, in our hearts and also in the earth. I thank you, Father God, that as we move, as we stand up, as we rise up and we start taking our place, as we are led by your Spirit, you said that those who are led by your Spirit are the sons of God. Father God, it's one thing for the Spirit to be leading, but it's another thing for us to follow. Help us to follow your Spirit as you lead us and guide us into all truth and into bringing your will, plan, and purpose into the earth by making declarations, by taking our place, by speaking with authority, because Jesus himself said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now take it and go and make disciples. Make the world like heaven. Not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, in the hearts of men, in the lives of men and women, boys and girls, bringing peace, bringing righteousness, bringing joy. Because there is no joy in the world. There is no peace in the world, but in you, Father God, in your kingdom, there is righteousness, peace, and joy. in your Holy Spirit. We thank you. We thank you, Father, that the words that we've heard tonight, your word is planted in our hearts, and it takes root and it grows and it produces much fruit. Father, I thank you and celebrate you that you are with us continually, always, and you are helping us, reminding us every day to make your will known in the earth as it is in heaven. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Stand and let's just praise God for a few minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name. We thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. We celebrate and rejoice the price that was paid for us to be the sons of the Most High God, that we could be your ambassadors in the earth to do your will, to bring peace to men, to bring peace to their hearts, to bring joy to their lives, to bring your righteousness into our hearts, Father God, that we no more be guilty, but we are free. We are free because the Spirit of the Lord has come upon us and lives in us. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Well, I call you the blessed of the Lord. I say that the hand of God rest mightily on your lives, and you are his favorite. You are highly favored of God, and he goes before you. He comes on either side of you and behind you with his mercy and his goodness, his grace, and he leads you in peace, and he leads you with joy. And everything you put your hand to is successful because you are led by his Spirit. Everywhere you go, you are the manifestation of the presence and the Spirit of the Most High God. You are loved of the Father and of the brethren. And you are blessed to be a blessing. You're loved. Go with God. We will see you whenever we're supposed to see you. As long as you show up. Take your pick. Show up to all of them. You're dismissed.